I think looking back on it now in hindsight, it was a good idea for the defense, and obviously it didn't work out so well for the prosecution. I think in any case where you're going to have evidence that's this voluminous, this many witnesses, as many documents, you don't want to try that case twice. You want to try it once. And now all of the other defendants have seen a preview of the state's evidence, and they're going to have a much better idea about how to attack it.
And getting into the state's evidence, the prosecution in setting up this when the trial began, they went way from the beginning. They started with, okay, let's prove that there was some cheating. Let's prove why we feel Tamara Cotman influenced a witness. So they started, they had Sonny Perdue, and they had the investigators, and they had Kathleen Mathers from the Governor's Office of Student Achievement. But one could argue, well, we know that there was cheating in APS. Were they able to prove that she influenced a witness? So they had all of this evidence. And even one of the jurors, Ben Emerson, I asked him about all this evidence that the state sort of threw at the jury. This is what he said.
There was a lack of evidence that led to the charge that was brought on this person. However, there was a large body of evidence, some of which probably wasn't necessary.
I agree 100%. I mean, it is a balancing act. You certainly need to give the jury some context for the charge. I mean, if you're influencing a witness, the jury needs to understand why that influencing may have occurred. But 3 weeks for this case, I think they overdid it. Now, whether they did that intentionally to try to send a message to the other defendants or not, I don't know. But if that was their intent, it failed miserably.
During this trial, we saw charts, we saw graphs, we saw a lot of witnesses called by the state, former APS executives who no longer even live in Atlanta, Valita Mazik, who's a former general counsel. In doing all of this, but never really having anyone say, Tamara Cotman told me specifically not to cooperate with the GBI. She threatened me with the loss of job. Without having anyone to say that probably was his main sticking point for the jury and not being able to come up with a guilty verdict.
I think so. In a criminal trial, even more so than a civil trial, it's not the quantity of evidence, it's the quality of the evidence. And going into this trial, there's no doubt that the prosecution was aware that they did not have that smoking gun. They did not have direct evidence of influencing a witness. So some people now that the trial is over will certainly second guess bringing this particular charge against her. And I'm certain that the other defendants who are awaiting their trial are probably going to be emboldened by this verdict and what they've seen of the state's evidence so far.
After last week's verdict, and Paul Howard in addressing the media seemed optimistic, he said that this was just one charge and he seemed still pretty confident that moving forward that his office would be able to get a conviction somewhere down the road.
We didn't give it all we had. And also, this is a case that only involved one charge. It only involved one charge of influencing a witness. This whole case involves cheating. And when we went back and talked with the jurors said to us, if the case had only involved cheating, that they would have been able to make a decision in 2 minutes.
It's going to be very difficult. I mean, one thing the district attorney has not mentioned is that not only was she not charged with cheating, none of these other folks are either. They're charged with racketeering, theft by taking, false statements, influencing witnesses, the same type of charge, in fact, more complex and more difficult to prove than this last defendant. So we've all known, at least for the last several years, that there was cheating going on at the Atlanta Public School System. But it is a big jump to go from that to felony racketeering indictments and even to go to an influencing of the witness charge. Cheating is not a felony in Georgia. I think if the district attorney wanted to address the cheating that everyone is aware of, this case could have been handled differently and probably not nearly as complicated as the test they've now made for themselves with this racketeering indictment.
During this trial, there was statements made by both from the defense's witnesses and the prosecution. Some said that's been 3 or 4 years ago in terms of trying to recall certain incidents or certain remarks, and they said, I just don't remember. Now, that's in September of 2013. What's going to happen next year in 2014?
Absolutely. I mean, even if we try it in May of 2014, I mean, with Dr. Hall's health, with some other issues, with the possible appeal, it may even take longer than that. That's always a problem when you wait for several years to bring a criminal indictment. Memories fade. Witnesses don't remember the details, certainly several years back. This is not a purely document case where the documents are going to tell the entire story. You need live witnesses to come to court and testify. And if memories are fuzzy, that's a better case for the defense usually.
If Paul Howard, and this is obviously way into the future, but your personal opinion as to what this means for Paul Howard as the district attorney, if his office cannot get a major conviction.
You know, you've got to look at all of the money and the time, the court resources, and in fact, the effect it may have had on APS moving forward, you know, drumming all this stuff back up and presenting it in trial. The district attorney in this case has decided that we're going to build the biggest case possible. We're going to turn a cheating investigation into a racketeering indictment. It's hard to do that, and especially if your evidence is not 100% accurate. So I certainly think that if we go forward with this and there is this massive trial next year for racketeering and he does not get convictions of the high-level folks, there'll be a lot of questions. Why did we spend this money? Why did we take this time? And how has this benefited the teachers, the administrators, and most importantly, the students?
Paige, WABE Legal Analyst, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.